Good evening. Welcome in to State of the Tigers here, brought to you by James Carlton at Carlton Insurance in Webster Groves, Missouri. I am Gabe DeArmond. We will bring in Drew King momentarily. Do want to start off, as we always do, reminding you to get in touch with James Carlton. I've been talking with James about looking at my insurance needs, and you should talk to him about your insurance needs because he's set to save me some money. And that's a good thing. We all like to save money. You guys all like Mizzou sports as well. And so does James. He'd like to talk to you about that, talk to you about NIL, all that. Because James is going to save me money, I went out and bought new headphones today. We're slowly but surely remaking the weekly YouTube show. I've got a fancy light up there. I've got new headphones. Eventually, we'll get Drew and Gerard some nice equipment down the road. It's a professional operation around here, Drew.
Yeah, we try. That's all we can say. We try, right?
I mean, look, your bed's made. I got new headphones. Mm-hmm. This is a grown-up podcast. Right? want to invite all you guys to, as Jared points out, it's actually the Super Chats that bought the new headphones. It's also James Carlton, but we appreciate both of those things. So, but we invite you guys, comments, questions, anything you got. We're going to have Drew talking basketball a little bit. And then Gerard Hamilton will come on in a few minutes. We'll talk a little spring football, maybe say some negative things about the SEC, which I know is always really positive on this show. So, yeah, we'll go. All right. So let's start here, Drew. Our first comment.
I saw it early. Sorry.
Says, "We try" is Mizzou men's basketball motto. I feel like that's pretty appropriate. Can you think of one that would be better?
No, that's about as good as it gets. Good job by Sean there.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, we're not going to win, but we'll play hard is a little wordy, but descriptive. I feel like that fits in.
We fight is pretty much the same thing.
But
good job by Sean there. I think good catch by him.
Scrappy, but not super talented, maybe.
Everybody's hurt.
There you go. I remember, not everybody hurts, but everybody's hurt. I remember back when I was growing up, the Royals one year had and this was after they were good. They were not good by this point, but they had a motto like their slogan for the year was "It's our time." And that might've been the year they started 0-19. And like, I mean, complete disaster. And like, just, maybe Mizzou could just go with "it's not our time" for the rest of the year.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the big question is like, time for what? Right. Cause I mean, it could be their time in a sense.
You're right. It's time to be done. We are two games. Well, I don't want to say definitely two games because we've discussed they could actually win one in Atlanta, but this is Thursday night. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that 172 hours from right now, we're pretty sure the basketball season is going to be over. That would be, for those of you who do not major in math, 1 week and 4 hours from right now. So 11 o'clock next Thursday night, we're done.
I would agree with that. Yeah. Like, even best case scenario where they win a first round SEC game, I don't expect to win.
Not
in the second
round SEC game.
I'm not expecting one.
Yeah. It would clearly, that would be like, that would be the biggest shock in the history of conference tournament basketball, right?
For a winless Mizzou team to go a couple rounds deep.
Team to win the SEC tournament.
Yeah. Like, that would be pretty unprecedented. I would have to say, I'd have to go back and look and see like what were the worst 16 seeds of all time, but that would be up there with them.
Somebody posed this question on our board. Let's say Missouri wins 5 games. This is obviously, guys, we have nothing to talk about. This is all made up. None of this is going to happen. But let's say Missouri were to win 5 games in 5 days next week and win the SEC tournament. What seed would they be in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, good question. It would have to be like at best a 14 seed at best. And like you're basing that off of they beat Minnesota and they beat Pittsburgh and Wichita State. Like, and those three wins are going to be better than some of the other conference champions who won 20 something games, even though worse opponents.
I think they would probably be a 14. However, and again, because this has no chance of happening, we're never going to find out. If they were to do that, I think the committee should make them one of the 16s in a play-in game.
Yeah.
And it's so they're playing like Alcorn State on Tuesday night in Dayton.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Gabe. Like, it's not like they've done a whole lot. Well, okay, but at that point, they would have like 13 wins under their belt.
And they would have wins over like Tennessee, Auburn, Florida, you know, like actual good teams.
Yeah. Okay, well, so I'm actually going to go the other way then. I think that, like, if they are able to rattle off some wins against, like, teams that are supposed to be 2 and 3 seeds in the NCAA tournament, like, I think that moves them up a little bit higher than a 14 seed even.
Okay. I think they'd be, like, a 13, 14. But, and look, the reason they wouldn't be a 16 is, can you imagine, like, I don't know, say, I don't know if UConn's a 1 seed. Let's say UConn's a 1 seed. And they're looking up and they're like, seriously, we play Missouri in the first round that just won the SEC tournament? What the hell is going on? This is Maryland, Baltimore County.
That would be like, I feel like the most watched 1 versus 16 of all time. Just because like you really feel like there's a little bit of upset potential there. But yeah, like, you know, not saying that Mizzou's ever going to get to this point, but Mizzou, you know, kept it close with Seton Hall, which beat UConn in the regular season, like transitive property, not impossible.
Impossible. 100% impossible. I think we've settled the motto thing. Connor says best team to never win a conference game of all time.
Yeah, that's the one.
Quote KenPom. Yeah, that's it. That's the motto. All right. So in all seriousness, though, I did not the last couple games before Tuesday night, I had like posted the script on the board and I'd been pretty close. Mm-hmm. And I told you before that one, I said they're going to fall behind by 10 and the run's never really going to come and they're going to lose by 25 or 30. I feel like I've got my pulse, my finger on the pulse of this team. I have a pretty good understanding.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. You know, we kind of called it on the podcast last week. You told me I could go ahead and write my gamer. And I did not, but I probably could have saved some time by doing so.
Like Bruce Pearl against bad teams is it's ugly. And like, look, that Auburn team has some dude. I would not want to play them in the big tournament.
They're deep. They're very deep. And it feels like a very classic Bruce Pearl team too, where they play fast, they shoot threes, they're mean. And they've also got like probably the best player in the conference in Jahni Broome or at least top two next to Dalton Knecht. So that's a pretty scary team to go up against.
I mean, led by 32-year-old point guard KD Johnson. Mm-hmm. Jalen Williams is a hell of a player. Like they got guys. You know, I think, like Connor said, forgot KD Johnson still played. I said the same thing to you during the game. I'm like, how is this guy still in college? Now they play LSU on Saturday night. I legitimately don't think I can name an LSU basketball player.
So I can name
one. Is there somebody I should know on this team?
Well, not somebody that you would be familiar with if you
haven't paid attention to the entire season.
Yeah. His name is Jalen Cook. It's their starting point guard, right?
He was the guy that was like either hurt or ineligible, and then ineligible, maybe.
Yes, correct. And so he played at LSU his freshman year. Transferred to Tulane after that, became an All-American Conference player for Tulane, transferred to LSU this year and was originally ineligible as a two-time transfer, even though he was going back to his old school. And LSU did not look right without Jalen Cook. Kind of the whole roster was built around the idea that we're going to get him cleared. And so once he did get cleared and the NCAA kind of lifted the restrictions on that, or was forced to lift the restriction, everything's fallen into place a little bit better for LSU. They have this freshman point guard, Mike Williams III. He was having to start while Jalen Cook was out. He's been doing better in a bench role. Jalen Cook has kind of taken over the reins of the offense, let Jordan Wright kind of take some of the load off of his shoulders. And so what you're seeing is a 500 SEC team, which without Jalen Cook, LSU definitely wouldn't have been. And so it's not looking like a team that Mizzou has a great chance against. KenPom gives them a 22% chance of winning this game on Saturday night. But it's also like not an unbeatable team. This isn't Auburn again, right? It is a team that has more holes in this game.
Here's my script for this one. Missouri's going to lead this game in the last 2 minutes. Oh. They're not going to win because that's not a thing they do, but they're going to lead this game in the last 2 minutes.
Okay.
Because realistically, I don't really think it means anything for LSU.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to the tournament. You know, I mean, it might mean the difference between like being the 8 seed and the 10 seed or something, but I don't know. I think we see flat board LSU and Missouri hold the lead for a long time.
So here's where I'll disagree with you. I don't know if you remember this game, but I was there for the road game at LSU in person last season. And it was LSU's last home game that night as well. It was senior night. And their walk-on shooting guard comes out, hits back-to-back threes. LSU takes a 19-point lead in the first half. Like, I think that they'll be, like, motivated a little bit. I think the crowd will be a little bit better for this game as well. I don't know, man.
There might be spring football practice going on. They might not be ready.
That's fair. No, but like, I don't know. Given last year when they had like even less to play for, right? They were even lower in the standings. They still came out and gave a pretty good effort. So I'm kind of expecting the same from them this time around.
All right. So SEC tournament, like, you know, it's still a fun time of year. I mean, it's a lot less fun when you're going, hey, maybe my team can get to Thursday, right? it loses a little bit of the luster, but it's still, like, growing up, I loved turning ESPN on at, like, 11 o'clock on Tuesday. You know, the Big East tournament would start, and it was like, cool, I'm not leaving my couch for the next 6 days. I actually used to like conference tournament week better than the first week of the NCAAs. So let me throw this at you. You watch a lot of college basketball. You pay far more attention to it than I do, I think. If you could go to one conference tournament this year, what conference tournament are you going to?
Great question. SEC, I think, is up there just because you've got a really tight cluster of like 5 or 6 teams at the top that are separated by 1 or 2 games. I don't know that you could bet on anybody being a true favorite in the tournament this year. If I had to go outside the SEC, I'm probably leaning Big 12. You know, you got Big Bad Houston. Kansas has been kind of disappointing. You know, Baylor's right there. Texas has been up and down all season. Iowa State's been surprisingly really good this season. So a lot of like quality teams in the Big 12, that's kind of how it's been for a little while now. But like, it's also interesting that the Big 12, it's not a given anymore that Kansas is going to win it every single year. Because of the additions that they've made.
In fact, this year they will not. I mean, they're 4 games behind Houston with 1 game to play. So I'm not great at math, but I don't think they can make that up.
Correct.
Yeah. I would go Big 12 or Big East, man. UConn, Creighton, Marquette, Seton Hall. Like, then you got St. John's, Nova, Providence, Xavier are like the middle of the league, but those are, I don't know if they're tournament teams, but they're solid teams. I think that would be, and plus it's in the Garden, man. Like I would love to go to the Big East tournament sometime, even though it's not the Big East tournament that I was used to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I still, maybe it's my Texas bias. I think that the Big 12 is a little bit deeper, where like if you get to the, you know, quarterfinals of the Big East, you're looking at like Xavier and Providence is a decent team, you know. Whereas like in the Big 12, you're talking about TCU, Texas, Oklahoma, like some teams that have some pretty big wins on their resume.
Yeah. All right. So we are, you know, whatever, 10 days from Selection Sunday and the actual tournament. I'll watch it probably because it's tradition. I'm super going to date myself here and I want to date you. Like, what's your first NCAA tournament memory?
This
is going to be so depressing.
The one that I might have some that are earlier, but the first one that comes to mind is Ohio State, Florida in the national championship game. My dad's an Ohio State grad, so I had to watch.
That was like, 56-year-old Greg Oden, Mike Conley.
Yeah, Greg Oden, Mike Conley, that team going up against stupid Joakim Noah. And that was also the year that Ohio State lost the national championship in football to Florida.
That's right.
And so like, this was going to be our get back game. We're going to take revenge and just couldn't pull it off.
That's what, like 06, 07, right in there.
Yeah. I think 07, 08, maybe.
Okay. That's yeah, that was as depressing as I thought.
It is called March Sadness.
The first NCAA tournament title game that I remember watching was Georgetown Villanova in 85.
Okay. Who's on that team?
All right. That was that would have been the team. That was when Villanova was an 8 seed. It was like Ed Pinckney.
Okay.
Harold, I know that Presley. Name.
Yeah.
Presley, I can't remember, but yeah, it was like Villanova shot like 73%. And won the title. It was it was three big East teams. Chris Mullen was in the Final Four with St. John's, and yeah, like Jared says, that was Patrick Ewing on Georgetown, who never won didn't win that one. I can't remember if he won the title in college. Might have won one as a freshman, but yeah. So 1985, you would have been what, -14,
11.
Something like that.
-11. Yeah.
All right.
I do remember watching the 30 for 30 on those Big East teams with Ed Pinckney and Patrick Ewing, Earl the Pearl. Is that
Pearl Washington?
Yeah, there
Syracuse.
We go.
Yeah, so that's where we're at. Things that I watch live, Drew remembers the 30 for 30. So, you know, that's pretty much how life is these days. That was your first NCAA tournament memory. What's your best? Like, what you think of the tournament, the first game you think of, or the first name or moment or whatever?
Was it Villanova, North Carolina, where Villanova hit the buzzer beater? Yes. Okay. That's the one.
I can't remember who it was now, but yeah, like 2016, somewhere around there.
Right. Because I don't think the guy went on to play anywhere for any long amount of time. But 2 years later, I went to the Final Four Media Day in San Antonio. And I did a story about, like, you know, what is different about the two teams. But that 2016 team that won the first championship at the buzzer, I think Ryan Arcidiacono was on that team. That is like the epitome of March to me, is like, because it was two very evenly matched teams and it literally went down to the wire. And somebody, I don't think they had a timeout either. Like, it was just a live throw in, like, pass the ball, chuck it up. Yeah, so that's the one that is probably one of my favorites for sure.
Okay, the first buzzer beater I remember is Keith Smart in 87 for Indiana. I was in eighth grade watching Grant Hill to Christian Laettner to beat Kentucky. I remember that one. But does the name Ali Farouk Manesh mean anything to you?
I'm afraid not, no.
Okay. He was a Northern Iowa guard who just went off against number one seed Kansas. 96, 95, somewhere in there. Somebody's going to have to give me the year. But, Northern Iowa had like a 1 or 2 point lead. And they had the ball with less than 30 seconds left. And Ali Farouk Manesh is on the wing. And he rises up. And it's like, no, 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 please don't shoot the ball. And he made it. And it was like, oh, what an amazing shot, right, to clinch the game against KU. And then Bubba's dad brings up what I think everybody on here, the biggest NCAA tournament memory is Ty Sedney. You never want the team you cheer for to be the one that's like on the losing end of a play they show for 25 years on the tournament intro. And that's pretty much where Missouri was at that point. I was a freshman in college.
That's brutal.
Yeah. Well, and you already said your worst tournament memory is Ohio State losing, right?
Right.
None of those Rick Barnes teams collapsing was worse for you.
That's the thing. I wasn't really a Texas fan until I went to Texas, if that makes sense. Like, I inherited my dad's Ohio State fandom at first.
Gotcha. So, all right, let's get, we had to burn some time talking about other stuff because, look, guys, there's not a whole lot. We're going to do a whole bunch of off-season stuff, but I did see a couple questions. So let's just hit these quick. Aiden Whiting and Drew, you take this first. Starting five next year. Portal point guard, Honor Boateng, Tamar Bates, Trent Pierce, Jordan Butler. What's your starting five next year?
So just evaluating Aiden's starting five here, that's a lot of faith in Honor Boateng and Trent Pierce.
Jordan Butler a little
bit. Yeah, a little bit. Jordan, I think you could survive with him at your five. I don't know that you necessarily want to go in with him as your only option. If he makes some strides in the summer, I could see it happening. Trent Pierce, we just haven't seen enough of him for me to trust that he's going to be ready to take on that kind of responsibility. And Honor Boateng, like, freshmen are just dart throws, right? Like, you really don't know whether or not they're going to be able to contribute right away. So, you probably want another veteran there, and start the year probably bringing Honor off the bench before he takes over one of those spots. But as far as my starting five, like, I do agree, like, Tamar Bates has to be there. That's the only one I would say has to be a starter for next season. You could tell me that Aiden Shaw is going to be a starting power forward or that Jordan Butler is going to be your starting center. But you probably need like a lot more experienced guys. Go ahead, Gabe.
I was going to say my prediction. I'm not saying this is what I would do. Here's my prediction. Portal at point guard, Tamar Bates, Caleb Grill, Portal. Maybe Butler, but just somebody. I don't really know who.
I keep forgetting that John Tanjay and Caleb Grill can come back next year when I think about what the starting five is going to look like. I could see one or the other taking that third small forward spot. I 100% agree. Point guard from the portal. Like, you just got to have somebody that can handle it with Ant Robinson. And then, like you said, like, you got to get rebounders. You got to get guys who can protect the paint that aren't going to be, you know, Trent Pierce and Peyton Marshall. I think that some portal additions in the front court are definitely going to be necessary there.
Yeah. Sam says transfer portal targets and future high school recruits. I mean, they, look, this is kind of what we do on a regular basis, right? And we'll the 2025 class, I can't do that yet. That'll come into more focus in the spring.
I can talk about the 2025 class a little bit. Like, okay. You obviously got Aaron Rowe. What I was told was, you know, because they got Aaron really early on, they don't feel as much pressure to go out and recruit a whole lot of guys, right? They want to be a little bit more selective about who they go after. But we did get the news that Dorian Jones is going to come in for a visit next month. He's kind of a combo guard from Cleveland, Ohio. So that's a name to look at moving forward. And then, we'll find out some more stuff this summer.
Yeah. So I don't know. They play Saturday. What time do they play Saturday?
Oh gosh, you're putting me on the spot.
Feel like it's like 7 p.m. or something.
I think
like
7:30. Yeah, 7:30.
Like, so, we're going to end with this. How come they can wait till 12 days before kickoff, sometimes 6 days before kickoff, to announce football games on TV, but they set the entire basketball schedule before the year? Why do they do that?
I wish I had a good answer for you, Gabe. It's the same reason that they make the basketball games 2 hours apart and have them running, overlapping each other every time, because basketball games never go under 2 hours. They always go over.
Ever. We barely finished half in 2 hours on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
That was the worst game I've ever been to. That's not
the word.
It's no, it's absolutely not.
You've been to a lot of games.
I've been to a lot of games, but just when you combine the fact that it wasn't competitive with the fact that it started at 8 o'clock and they called 51 fouls, like if I put together a list, that's top 15, I guarantee.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't a whole lot to that was appealing about the game. Let's say that.
Amen. That's okay. There's the motto. Not a whole lot appealing. Basketball 2024. So, all right, Drew, appreciate you, man. We're going to have Gerard turn his camera on. Oh, did you see how fast he did that? Were you looking down in the green room there?
No, I didn't see it.
I said, Drew, I appreciate it. And Gerard snapped it on, did some neck stretches, and he was ready to go, man. So now he's on the screen. Gerard, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm always on time, Gabe. I'm always on time, so. I've been paying attention.
All right. Good deal, man. I mean, I'm not sure anybody else has, but we appreciate you. I don't know. You guys want to wave to each other or anything before I kick Drew off the screen? Anything to say?
You know, Drew, how many pods do we have left in Evolve Basketball?
Up to game. At least a couple. But then we'll get portal season, and then it actually gets fun.
Drew, as long as we're in your season, you will be going first, sir.
Sounds good.
All right, Drew. We'll let you go, man.
Sounds good.
All right. That's Drew King with basketball. We are going to get to a little spring football, a little college football in general. Gerard joins us. If you've got Mizzou football-related questions, feel free to put them in the chat because, like, I don't know, Gerard, I texted you 30 minutes ago, said you got anything to talk about? I don't really have that much to talk about. How's spring practice? How's that been? That's a lot of fun.
I can give y'all some breakdowns, but I know what everybody wants to talk about is Luther and him missing a couple of practices in the spring. So from what I don't
– This is full reason to panic, right? We should be very alarmed about this?
No.
I
think they had a closed practice today, so it's like 7, I think it maybe 8, 9, 10, something like that. They've got quite a bit of practices for him to come back, but the first time we was told after he missed a practice, it was something like he had an NIL obligation or whatever, wasn't at practice the other day. I mean, I told someone, like, to be honest, Drake and the staff would want him at every practice because you could keep your eyes on him. Like, you want your players where you can see them. But no one's upset that he's missed a couple practices in spring ball where he can, you know, mess up an ankle or any other silly thing, especially when the wide receiver room is so deep where other people need those reps anyway.
Right. And like, I want to be clear. I don't really know exactly why Luther hasn't been in practice. We were just told he had a prior obligation the first time. And we're not going to ask every single time he's not there, but like, I promise Eli Drinkwitz knows why he's not there. And if it was a problem, Eli would tell him to be at practice.
Yeah. I also think this isn't some like some problem between them two where he's, you know, not going to practice or whatever. Like, whatever it is, it seems like no one else is panicking. No one else is kind of making a fuss or looking like, why isn't he here? Just like,
I mean, spring ball. Look, as long as Mizzou is promoting him on a social media graphic every other day, I feel very confident he's in fine standing with the team.
Right. So there's...
And they've had a lot of, like, that. A couple days ago, he was, like, out visiting kids in St. Louis and stuff. So everything is good, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can give me a position, maybe, and I can start talking about what I've seen, what I've heard.
Yeah, so we'll just go through some of these questions. Connor says the wide receivers are looking good as expected. I mean, they got a lot of guys in that room. They feel good.
Yeah, top seven receivers coming back. I don't know how often that happens in college football.
I bet almost never.
Yeah,
especially in the free transfer era.
Oh, absolutely. So. Yeah, Theo, Mookie, they've been looking good. I mean, chemistry with Brady is, at this point, they're all, him and all three of his top receivers, seamless. Probably could say the same thing about Mekhi Miller. You see Speedy Johnson. We just talked to him yesterday. And so he's cool. You can tell he's trying to do a little bit more route, you know, diversify the route tree. Not saying he couldn't do this before, but last year it was mostly like deep posts. Nine route, you know, so you can kind of see him doing something, you know, a little bit more. Yesterday, they were doing a one-on-one goal line drill. So the quarterback was about the 10-yard line. It's one-on-one with the CB. And I think it was Jamarian Wayne he was on him pretty tight. And it looked like he was going to knock the ball out and Speedy caught it. And they kind of laughed about it. And Jamarian, he had ran past the media. He's like, I can't even say nothing about that one. Like, he got me. But, you see him doing some work over there. Same thing with Joshua Manning. Daniel Blood. I mean, those guys are working. It's just like it's such a deep room. How are you gonna get PT? But they're all working. It looks
right. Like there's gonna be somebody who, you know, like one of those Daniel Blood, Josh Manning, like it might be another year, but I think it's a pretty good sign that they all came back.
Yeah. So yeah, the wide receiver room's working. And since we're talking about wide receivers. Punt return, still seeing Theo Weiss, Speedy Johnson, Daniel Blood. But yesterday I felt like I kind of got like insight that it was Daniel Blood who got the first reps when they did the – it was more so of a practice activity or drill for the punters, but he was with the first string back there. Then it was Joshua Manning. And then Theo Weiss, I think he's just there to slide into that KAD role. Like, we just need you to catch the ball, and that's it. You don't have to run. Just make sure we get possession.
All right, Jason wants to know who's Mizzou's second string QB.
I think it's Tommy Locke, based off what I was seeing. Was either yesterday or practice to start.
That would make sense.
Yeah. So
he's the only one that's been here more than 2 months.
Yeah, it's him. Although I think today I've seen that Brett Brown maybe was one of the players of the day. But what I seen yesterday was Tommy. But I feel like with a position like that, and they don't really know, like, I'm sure – every other day, maybe it's someone new, you know, running with the twos. I don't think that's a lock that he's a section. It's just what I saw.
No pun intended, right? It's not a lock. Yeah. No, here's the real answer, Jason. He ain't on campus right now. Missouri's second string quarterback for the season opener is not on campus. Well, he may be on campus. I don't know when he might be supposed to arrive for a visit this weekend. But we have thrown a name out there that we're expecting to visit this weekend on the message board, trying to get some confirmation that that's still going to happen. But regardless, Mizzou's second-string quarterback is either currently in the transfer portal or has not yet entered the transfer portal for next season. They are not going to go into next season with Aiden Glover, Harold Blood, or Tommy Locke as the backup to Brady Cook. I'll just tell you that.
Right.
All right. Sean wants to know, who would you project as the starting five O line? So we know four of them, I think, even if we don't know necessarily the positions. I mean, Connor Tolleson's your center. Armon Mimbo's your right tackle. Caden Green's your left tackle. Yep. And Cameron Johnson is a guard.
Now, it seems like he's pretty locked in at being a left guard. Like going okay. forward.
So basically, we're looking for a right guard at this point, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember exactly when Cameron, someone asked, like, who's really competing for that spot or whatever. He didn't say, usually, you know, they say the whole roster.
They named like 19 dudes, yeah.
He named maybe like four of them. Definitely Logan. Heard him say Curtis Peeler, Tristan Wilson. I feel like I'm missing another guy, but I'm thinking Logan right now is who I've seen lately getting first team reps there. And how could you not put like a 6'6", 370-pound road grader there right now? So that's what it looks like going forward. But that's still a position they can address in the portal, to be honest, if they really
– Well, the interesting thing – well, first of all, Jaben Richardson, he can play inside.
Well, I was going to say that based off what Brandon Jones said the other day, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he steps into swing tackle role where he's not necessarily starting, but, like, Marcellus Johnson played a lot as a swing tackle last year. And so, yeah, you could have Jaben maybe in there, but I don't know if that's where, like, they want to do if they have to, you know?
I find it a little bit interesting that they have offered or getting visits from a couple offensive tackles in the portal. Like, I'm not sure where that goes because – Caden Green is pretty clearly probably a left tackle. I mean, I guess they could move him into guard, but they brought him here expecting him to play left tackle. We asked Brandon Jones the other day about Mimbo and could he move, and he said, look, he's solid. Like, he's probably a guard in the NFL, but he knows right tackle, and we want to keep him there. So I just kind of find it interesting they're going after tackles.
Those are your bookend tackles. And Brandon Jones even said something like, basically, you don't want to create more holes. So if you move someone that you think is a starter at one spot and you move them somewhere else to plug something else, you're kind of lowering their value to the team. They're not doing what they're best at. So they're not going to keep moving guys. So,
right. And Connor there is bringing up Marcus Bryant. He's the SMU offensive lineman. He is supposed to visit next weekend for the spring game. He also has a visit to TCU set up the following weekend. And I would imagine we'll have some more, but it'll be interesting to see. But I feel like they're pretty set at four of the five spots, honestly. I really don't feel like we're going to go into fall camp with very many question marks. Like, I think we're going to have a pretty good idea early on in fall camp what the rotations look like.
I'm trying to think on the team real quick. Is there – a position that just hits me, but besides backup quarterback, but
corner maybe.
I
feel like it's probably Graydon Norwood and Toriano Pride.
Yeah, and I forgot who it is. Who said it yesterday? Was it Mookie? Okay, was it Trey? I'm trying to think, but it's basically saying like, it's gonna be Dre, Toriano. They like him. They've been calling him a good corner. They've been saying Jamarian Wayne. A lot of them like going at him. I think it was Speedy Johnson who said his toughest matchup so far at camp is Drayden Norwood. And then Marcus Clark, he was changed his number to 8. So every time I'm out there, I'm looking for 19. It's not there. But I've seen him have some good reps. We haven't talked about him, but I've seen him have some good reps in practice. So I think they're going to obviously look in the portal, but maybe a best player available type situation, or if they can get a good veteran corner that's just there, that's different. But I don't think they're like, oh, we need a corner type of thing.
Yeah. The spring game, 9 days away. It's kind of weird. Spring football is like half over at this point. It doesn't really seem like it's honestly started. But spring game and March 16th and then pro day March 22nd. I think, Gerard, since we started this podcast, they passed a new rule. They're gonna have an 18 playoff and all eight teams have to be from the Big Ten and the SEC. That's the rule. Everybody else gets to play the whole regular season, but then not allowed in the college football playoff. That's the latest proposal.
Let's get into schedule. Real quick, I see Sean says Jamarion Wayne back at receiver. No, he's at corner this time. So it was wide receiver, then it was safety.
Safety, and it was wide receiver again.
Yeah. Now it's corner. I can't get it. How do you have a new shiny thing this year and then say, did you see my example in my column?
Yes.
And for those who didn't read it real quick, basically I said them going from a 4-team playoff to a 14-team playoff in about 3 or 4 years is like I go to a restaurant, my favorite food is burgers. I order 4 burger sliders. Most of the time it's good. Like when I watch the playoff, I'm like, yeah, this is about right. Sometimes you get a team in there that you don't like. Obviously, a lot of people didn't like TCU or Cincinnati or whatever. But the tournament as a whole ends up being okay. Well, me and Gabe go to a restaurant again, and I say, you know what, Gabe? You know, usually the 4 is cool. It can get me through tonight. But you know what? I think I need more. So I skip 6 sliders, skip 8, and I just go straight to 12.
See, I like 12, though. 12 makes sense. I think I'm good with 12.
Well, here's the thing. I've come around, but you didn't even see, like, you didn't progress naturally.
We're already saying we need 14.
Let me just triple the order. And before you even, I order the food and the waiter goes away and I say, Gabe, when we come back next time, I'm getting 14. Like, I didn't even get the 12 yet and we already at 14. It's kind of crazy.
And here's the problem I have with it. And look, I get it. Everybody here is a fan of an SEC team. So they're like, yeah, SEC world domination. Hell yes, awesome. But it sucks for the sport. And here's why.
Yeah.
Like, if you're guaranteeing, first of all, why do the Big 12 and the Big 10 and the SEC need 3 guaranteed spots? Is there ever going to be a time when there's not 3 SEC teams in the top 14 ever?
They just own history. No. Like, they're telling the future.
But like there, every single year there will be 3 SEC teams in the top 14. In fact, I would say every single year there's probably 4. Sometimes there are going to be 5.
You have the game on lock basically, and then you're saying no, we're going to guarantee, like, if everybody plays how they usually play, the SEC gets the benefit of the doubt anyway. Like anyway.
Right. Well, and. Let's go with the food analogy. So if we get a pizza, say there's 12 pieces of a pizza, right? And I come to you and I say, look, you got to guarantee me that I can eat 5 pieces of that pizza. And you go, look, man, have 6. You already get 6. Like, I don't got to guarantee you anything. You're going to have 6 pieces. And I want to fight you to guarantee that I have. No, you're getting 3 teams in every year. Why are we picking a fight about this?
And I think it's just. It's all bad. So it's 3 teams, ACC and Big 12 each get 2. There's a group of 5, and then there's the 3 at larges. And like the more I think about it, though,
those 3 at larges are going to be SEC and Big 10 most of the time.
Probably. So yeah, when you think about it, so okay, yeah, but yeah, they're going to get those at larges too. But when you think about it, though, like you think about the ACC and the Big 12, and I was hearing them say on the College Football Inquirer about just like if you're Florida State, the teams that wanted to leave, like you could just kind of stay in the sucky ACC basically.
And right. You know, and you're pretty much guaranteed to be in.
Exactly. You're guaranteed to be in. And then the Big 12, they're in the background just kind of happy to be here looking around like, you know, we're good. 2 teams.
I mean,
2 teams sounds great.
Do you know who the second place team in the Big 12 would have been last year? It was either Oklahoma State gets in the playoff. Like, we don't need to guarantee that. Why are we guaranteeing that? That's stupid. Like, so the argument that everybody's always made about the playoff is, well, we don't want a playoff because it devalues the regular season. Now, that's not true when it's a four-team playoff. I don't even think it's true when it's a 12-team playoff. Like, it makes the season matter for more teams. But if you start guaranteeing all you got to do is be one of the top 3 SEC teams, then that does devalue the regular season. There are games that don't, or if you're guaranteeing the second place ACC team gets in, you absolutely are devaluing the regular season then.
Absolutely. And I think I think for every time they go up with the CFP bracket, that's another non-conference game they need to knock off. Like, if we're going to go this route, then we need to even the playing field a little bit more.
And like you said, can we see 12 before we decide we need it to be bigger? Can we just see what it looks like and see how fun it is?
Yeah.
Gerard, Connor's got some breaking news for you. Drew Tranquil, 3 years in Kansas City. So.
That's a good signing. See, he was that's a good signing. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I'm good with that. It means Willie Gay's gone, but Willie Gay's always been gone. So
we knew that
was gonna happen.
Well, win some, you lose some.
T-Rise brings up a good point. You can't devalue the ACC regular season. It's already devalued enough. But
it is. Who's, like, instantly when I think about the ACC, I think of Clemson, Florida State, I think of North Carolina, and then I just think of the bottom. I just think Virginia. Like, I just go to the very bottom I can think of. And maybe Virginia had a good season last year. I don't know.
You know who I still think of when I think of the ACC is Maryland, even though they've been in the Big Ten for like 10 years.
Oh, that always gets me. that always gets me.
But, look, this whole thing is just the SEC and the Big Ten saying, all right, here's the dining room. Now, we get this big table. We get the whole table. Like, don't even ask to sit at this table because you're not nearly good enough to sit at this table.
All right.
But if you want to sit over at that tiny table, there's only one chair at that table. But you can share it with four other dudes. And we're going to give you the leftover hot dog water, and you're going to tell us how much you like it. That's all this is.
And you know, I was going to say, what's funnier about that is they're coming down for where they were. It was worse than that. They wanted four apiece. I didn't know that, but they wanted the Big Ten, the SEC wanted to get four apiece first, and then they were just like, oh, okay, all right. Well, how about three?
I understand Missouri is a part of the SEC, and so, hey, it's good to be a part of one of the two leagues that runs this, but, like, could we run it and still let everybody else play? Could we go ahead and actually have college football exist? Because I've said this for 2 years. If we get to a point where the 36 teams in these two leagues tell everybody else to piss off and go do their own thing, dude, I have no desire to watch that. That doesn't appeal to me at all.
Yeah, the NCAA FBS football turning into the NFL, it's not what I'm looking for, to be honest. And also, on top of that, them guaranteeing themselves the buys, like, there was that one hypothetical of the 14-team playoff happening, the first two buys would go to the Big Ten and the SEC. And then, so if you're like Florida State, that's where it bites you in the butt, because basically you can, even if you're the one or however they want to do one, you're not going to get the buy. Or if they just say automatic SEC, Big Ten are one and two, you're always third at best. Like,
right. And again, Why do you have to fight for this? The SEC is going to be one of the top. The SEC champion is always one of the top two teams.
Yes.
Always.
Yes. You can lose that championship game and still be in the playoff.
Right. I don't like any of it. Look, the beauty of college football has always been that it's not the NFL. That it's a different thing. Right. And look, I'm good with players getting paid. I'm good with an expanded playoff. I'm good with I'm good with a lot of this stuff. I have no desire to watch 40 teams break away from everybody else and play in a crappier NFL. None of that appeals to me.
This just, and they're probably like not really parallels, but it just makes me feel like how I feel about like the G League, like Ignite and those things. Like, kids stop going to college so they can do that. And I'm just thinking, like, well, one, I'm not going to see you. Like, I barely see the college kids, to be honest, but I'm not gonna turn into the G League games and then you just randomly come up. Like, I don't want to see that. Go to college for some time and then let us see in the draft. It's all weird.
Yeah. See, well, this seems to have devolved into an old man and a young man yelling at the clouds. So whatever, it's all gonna happen anyway, right? But I appreciate you guys for hanging out with us till the end. Look, not a ton going on right now, but we'll have a chamber tomorrow. They got a big junior day, a lot of kids on campus. portal about to start revving up in basketball, so that's going to get fun. So we're going to start to get busy again, and we'll have at least one pod a week. May go back to two here pretty soon if the portal gets real crazy or if Missouri does something wild and hires an athletic director at some point. We'll talk about that. I want to thank our friend James Carlton, State Farm Insurance. Go to carltoninsurance.net. Call him on the phone at 314-961-4800. You find him on Facebook at facebook.com/carltoninsurance. James wants to talk to Mizzou Sports with you. He wants to save you some money on your insurance. So make sure to get in touch with him. He's been a good friend of ours with the live shows and the podcast for the last year and a half. And we hope that continues. And look, man, James got to have money to make these shows happen. So you got to make James your insurance agent. So get in touch with him. We'll talk to you next time.